Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim's Hentai Corner with Starless. We are back, and we're gonna go ahead and get as far as we can through the rest of these endings, because that's really where we're at right now. So let's go ahead and just get started. After giving it some thought, I decided to go along with Sachi's plan. I'll believe you this time. Now that's what I'm talking about. Sachi beams with joy. I form a steep V bridge in my Q stick and focus my aim. I'm particularly good at jump shots, so I'm gonna need some luck on my side for this one. Huh. I take a deep breath and make the fateful shot. The Q ball clears the ball, blocking it, and connects with the ball I was aiming for. It rolls across the table exactly like I wanted it to, hitting against the 9 ball, knocking it into the pocket. You did it! Holy shit, it actually went in! I stare at the pocket for a while, shocked by what I just saw. Well, crap, he did it. You and your big mouth, Sachi. Marika's shoulders droop with disappointment. But a deal's a deal. That key's all yours. She picks the key off the table and drops it into my hand. My hand trembles as I close it around the key. You're really giving it to me? You won, didn't you? It's your car now. I'll get the title changed on it as soon as I can. You'll be able to drive it right out of here once you leave. Thank you so much. Words can't express how grateful I am. I could even kiss her right on the cock. What? Couldn't that be cheek? Good for you, Sawatari. Thank you, Sachi. I could have done it without you. If you're that grateful, how about giving me a break on that money I owe you? No, I'm afraid that's a whole other story. Sachi scowls at me. I think it's time to call it a day. It's been fun, Sawatari. Fun for me, too. Damn it, I'm the only one here that really lost anything. But I'll get it all back eventually. Just you wait. The three of us leave the game room. Instead of going back to my room, I decide to stop by the garage again. I have the key to the F40 in my hand. He's like, haha! I grin like an idiot as I gaze upon it. I walk over to the F40 I already polished and run my hand over it. I can't believe this is mine. In a few days, I can leave here in this very car. It's like a dream. I might be the only guy in Japan who can say this is his very first car, that his very first car was a Ferrari F40. At first, I regretted ever coming here, but now I'm actually kind of glad I came. I spend the rest of the afternoon admiring my new car until it's time for dinner. Come dinner time, I'm on my way to the dining room as usual. Hey, Sawatari, do you mind doing me a favor and lending me a hand? When she suddenly speaks up, I realize I was right to be cautious. Huh? What the hell are you talking about? She's already borrowed a ton of money from me. What else is there to help with? I have no idea what it is you want from me, but knowing you, I bet it's nothing but trouble. How rude. Do I really seem that untrustworthy to you? Considering everything she's done so far, that's a really stupid question. Anyway, I've got a really juicy plan. Yep, here it comes again. I don't think her definition of juicy is the same as mine. If it's really that juicy, why not keep it all to yourself and leave me out of it? Don't be like that. I mean, I would if I could, but I can't do this alone. This is something only you can help me with. I can't ask anyone else. This is sounding worse and worse. So come on, help me out. Can you at least cover yourself before you ask? It's hard to find presence of mind with her clean-shaven crotch right in front of my face.
それとも何かしら？この完璧な体を見て欲情しちゃったのかな？
Does me being naked really still bother you that much? Oh wait, I know. I bet the sight of my perfect body is making you horny.
いいのよ。サワタリ君が手伝ってくれるなら、体くらいいくらでも見せてあげるわ。
Tell you what, if you agree to help me out, I'll let you look at my body all you want. In fact, I'll even let you do a little more than look. She speaks with a sugary voice and brings her crotch closer. Fine, just tell me what it is you want me to do. We'll go from there. I'm afraid I can't do that. This is a very dangerous plan. I can't tell you unless you're on board first. If you want to know, you'll have to promise to help me first. That's ridiculous. Who's going to go along with a crazy plan they know absolutely nothing about? It's one thing coming from someone you trust, but Sachi? Her trustworthiness is in the negatives at this point. You'd have to be insane to accept. At least give me the general idea first. Spare any details you can. Oh, fine. Sachi hesitantly starts explaining. You see, I actually started working here for a reason. No crap, you're here for the money, aren't you? Well, yes, I am. But I'm not here for the money like you think I am. What do you mean? You weren't lured in by the high pay like I was? Don't be silly. You think I'd be moved by a paltry sum like that? For being such a paltry sum, she sure loves to borrow money a lot. So what do you mean exactly? You still haven't figured it out? Man, you're slow. What I'm after...
たかだか使用人ごときに高給を支払える身分なのよ。そんな屋敷なら、そんな額のこういう大金持ちは、いつ潰れてもおかしくない。
Hold on. Something's weird, guys. It's going.
財産の一部は自分の手元に現物で置いておくものなのよ。
Okay. What I'm after is a much larger amount of money. Larger? Don't you get it? The amount of money they pay their servants is like pocket change to them. We're talking about a loaded family here. And people this rich, they don't trust banks. Banks can go under at any time after all. I bet they keep a good amount of money with them.
No. ここまで聞けば、いくら頭の悪い沢渡君でも察しがつくでしょ?
Do you get what I'm trying to say now? I realize what she's getting at. You mean, you're after their fortune? That's right. She grins. She's practically asking me to become an accomplice in theft. But that's a crime. Shh, be quiet. You don't want anyone to hear us, do you? I'm only telling you this because I trust you. And what if I rat you out to the mistress? I know you wouldn't do something like that. That's quite a lot of faith she's putting in me. I mean, I have no intention of doing that, to be sure. To be honest, I just don't want anything to do with it, period. I'll ask again, are you going to help me with my plan? Let me make it clear that I don't plan on asking anything very difficult from you. I just need a little help is all. Do me this favor and I'll give you split of the cash. Hell, I'll even split it 50-50 if you want. That's a pretty sweet deal if you ask me. I have no idea how much money they'd be keeping here, but I'm willing to bet it's a damn good amount. Getting just a portion of it would probably take care of my money problems for the rest of my life. That's of course if we succeed. Even if we get the money, we'd have to get out of here too. Sachi herself said it would be impossible as long as we have these bracelets. But judging from how confident she seems, maybe she's already found a way around that problem. Can I have your answer? This is a thinker. The plan is extremely dangerous, but we'll be made for life if we pull it off. I cross my arms to give it some serious thought. Okay. It says... Alright. That's a little different. Alright, taking part in the plan actually leads to the worst end, just in case you guys are curious. So, we're actually not going to take part in the plan, so we can get to the endless nightmare ending. I don't think I can go through with it. I arrive at my conclusion. I know she needs my help, but I don't want to be an accomplice to a burglary. I see, I had a feeling you'd say that. She looks disappointed, but doesn't try to pursue the matter. Don't worry, I won't tell anyone else about your plan. It doesn't really matter anyway. Without your help, I'll have to cancel it anyway. Just forget everything I told you. Alright, I nod. I guess I won't be working here much longer now. So what do you mean by that? Well, there's no point for me to stay here anymore. Might as well quit. Huh? I'm taken aback. The only reason I stayed here was so I could wait for a chance to pull off my plan. But now I don't think that chance is ever gonna come. I think it's about time I call it quits. I lost all my money too. I've had about enough of this place. She seems pretty firm about her decision. So when do you think you'll be leaving? The sooner the better, I suppose. I was thinking maybe 2 or 3 days. That's pretty sudden. That would be about the same time Mitarai and I leave. Do you think the mistress will let you? With Sachi gone, that would leave this place without a single servant. I doubt the mistress would want that to happen. I'll doubt she'll have any issues with it. My contract has been expired for a while now. I'm only here because I asked her to let me stay. I'm sure she'll be more than happy to get rid of a useless maid like me. So she knew all along how useless she was? That's a shocker. Oh, hold on. I think we did kind of go over some of this. So what are you going to do after you quit? Yeah, we've read this already. I feel sorry for the poor sap. Don't worry about your money. I'll find a way to pay you back. I was going to use the money I got from this plan to pay you off, but I guess that won't be happening now. I won't hold my breath. Very funny. Seriously, though, if I can't get the money, I have other ways of paying you back. I'd tell her that I only care about the money, but I doubt she'd listen to me. Yeah, basically she just says, you know, the same thing that we've heard. Which is, yeah, we'll both be out of here soon, let's make the most of our time left, uh-huh. She grins at me and I give a half-hearted reply. Well, I'll leave you alone now, you can stay here and relax. And it says, of course, that she gets up and leaves without even stepping in the bathtub. I watch her leave and sink down to my shoulders. After soaking for a good while, I get out of the bathroom. Back in my room, I think about Sachi while I dry my hair. This place is going to feel pretty empty without her. She has her faults, but she isn't a terrible person or anything. Granted, she was about to go through with a crime, but hey, at least she gave up on it. I think I made the right choice in turning her down. I have a feeling that I'll never see her again after she quits. I'm both happy and sad to see her go. I don't know, it's a weird feeling. I should probably go to bed. I finished drying my hair and set my alarm clock. It's a little early for bedtime, but I want to get a nice long rest. Good night. I turn out the lights and snuggle into bed. Day 14. Okay. I'm awakened by the sound of the noisy alarm clock. Okay, here we go. Alright, here comes the vase again, folks. So, Atari, I want to ask you to clean the reception room for me. What, you want me to do the cleaning? She usually asks Mitarai or Mikiko to do the cleaning, so I'm caught off guard. Wouldn't Mitarai be better at cleaning the room than me? I'd ask her to do it, but I got another job set aside for her. She's going to be polishing the silverware. Alright, I'll get on it. That leaves the reception room to you. Think you can handle it? I'm not used to cleaning, but I'll do my best. Okay, we know. We know. Okay, and Sachi, she has the grim look. Okay. And look around the room. Where to start? Yeah, there's no... Okay, cleaning the window, the walls. Wipe the sweat from my brow. 2 hours cleaning. And there's the vase. There's the fucking vase. You know, I actually went onto Jazz server and posted a big essay about this fucking vase. Now, you know what? Let's read that fucking thing, because people said it was quality content. Somebody even kind of memed it. But I will read that. It says, we need to talk about the vase and Starless. One thing that I noticed, having done professional housekeeping for a nursing home and maintenance work over the years, was how two workers who had already 14 days experience in cleaning a mansion approached it. It's not the vase stand's fault for wobbling. It's purely Salutari and Mitarai. Mitarai did not even bother to hold the thing stable as she cleaned it, so of course it fell and broke. That's her fault. Salutari braced it as he does here, but neither of them did what you're supposed to do with an item like that. First of all, and they should know this, everything in this house is valuable. Everything in this house, this entire mansion is valuable. Every cup, every plate, especially glassware and pottery. Most of that stuff should have been given that it costs more than they do. Always expect something costs thousands, if not millions of dollars. The tiniest cup, the oldest book. When you're cleaning something from a family that is this wealthy, you've got to take very good care. Be very careful picking it up. If you even notice a wobble, you pick the vase up and you polish the vase, you know, outside, and then you put it back gently on the stand. It's not that heavy of a vase. Most of this stuff, okay. So you have to be very careful when you clean, and no doubt they'd already had this experience during the day-to-day cleaning duties, which they did. From day to day, they cleaned. I mean, how many times have we looked through this text, folks, where it said, now we're doing our regular duties, or now we've been dismissed to do our regular duties. We know what the regular duties of somebody that's taking care of a mansion like this, cleaning a mansion, is. When they're not doing the crazy sex stuff, they were doing regular work, regular housekeeping. So they should know this. If you see the thing wobble, you pick up the vase, and you put it on gently, you know, we're going to assume the vase is in the corner. So I'm assuming that it's supposed to be right there behind that lockbox. You see where that purple window curtain, that purple curtain is? Right there. So that's a hardwood floor. You pick up that and you put it gently next to you. That way, if it tips over a little bit, it's not going to bust. But you pick it up, and then you put it where it needs to go. And there's more to it than just that. What most stuck out to me was the fact that not one of these two cleaners picked up the vase. Why? Because any good cleaner knows that you need to clean underneath it. Don't forget, this is on a stand. And if we're cleaning, you know, deep cleaning, what we used to call it, deep cleaning, you have to make sure that you clean underneath things. Lift things up. Clean underneath of them. You see that little box there on that glass table? That glass table is very, very, very fragile. But you're going to have to clean that glass. And you're going to have to clean underneath that thing. Like, you have to clean the bottom of it. You got to clean that little box, whatever it is. That may be a very, very fragile box. You got to be very careful with it. But that's the kind of stuff that you have to deal with when you're cleaning rooms and things. Because I had to do that. So, and you have to clean the bottom of it. If the vase has got dust on the bottom of it, you know, the base at which it stands, if there's dust on the bottom of it, then if there's dust on that base, there's probably dust on the bottom of the vase. And I said, I could literally walk into the mansion, go into this reception room, lift up the vase, and find dust underneath of it. You take your finger and you could probably find the dust. Now, in a family like this, that would look very bad. Because they're always about cleanliness. Maybe they're really dirty when it comes to the sex stuff, but they want to keep things immaculate. Especially when their guests come in, when they have these people that are wearing fine suits and things like that. $1 million suits. They don't want to come in and see even the tiniest bit of dust. So that's something that you really have to take care of when you're doing this kind of work. And the bottom probably has a layer of dust too, as I said. For an $8 million vase, you would have thought it would have been tended to more thoroughly. When you pay people to clean, you pay them to do the job right. The problem with Maria is that she keeps hiring these goddamn kids. And yes, I know, because she's trying to get sexual. But at the same time, you're also hiring inexperienced cleaners who are probably gonna break your shit. So she's spending $4 million per cleaner. And it's really gonna cost her. I know she's got money, but that doesn't mean you hemorrhage it. And if you're breaking $8 million vases, that's the price of two people you've hired. Now granted, she says she would knock off the price to about $4 million. But that's $4 million that she's out as somebody that she hired. She'd have to, you know, she already said she didn't have the money to hire Salvatore and Mitterai again. She doesn't have the money to hire these people again. So if she doesn't have the money to do that, she shouldn't have the money to replace, or she shouldn't have the money to take these losses for damages. You know, the broken vase, or that table right there with that glass front, you know, you smash that. God knows how much that is. God knows how much that grandfather clock is. God knows how much that black leather chair is. We don't know how much this stuff costs. But you don't want it tore up. It's millions of dollars. This is very expensive stuff. So, it just doesn't make sense to me why she would hire people that don't have any real experience in cleaning other than the sexual stuff. Because all it's doing is going to cost her more money. I mean, that's my personal thoughts on it. But yeah, he's going to polish the vase. This is a huge vase. We still don't know how big this vase is. I know Sei Shoujo did an art book. I want to see if there's a picture of that vase in there. Like, I'm serious. I want to know how big this vase is. This is a big deal to me. I want to know how, you know, I've cleaned vases. And another thing, this might be a little personal, but my grandmother, actually, we had several rooms in my grandmother's house where there were actual priceless artifacts. I'm not lying to you. They were on little glass tables. We had, this great big dining room, the dining room table. And then we had this, what was called the living room. There was the family room and the living room. The living room had two chairs and had a couch, of course. And then there was all kinds of this priceless artifacts. Stuff from Africa, stuff from, you know, Fabergé eggs, all kinds of things like that. I wasn't well-to-do, but my grandmother was. She was a former Navy. And my uncle, God rest his soul, he traveled the world, and he brought home all kinds of artifacts and things that should be in museums. So as a young boy, I was always waking up to see this kind of just amazing stuff that you just never believe. And it was just normal to me. You know, there was this really scary African statue. It was supposed to be of an African woman, but it was very frightening to me as a young kid because of the features. They were very stark. And this is a handcrafted, one-of-a-kind wood piece he got from Africa. You know, we'd had actual Chinese, you know, the hats, you know, that Raiden has. We had one of those. It was very cool. There was little Egyptian board games. Those were pretty cool. And I mean, like, ancient Egyptian. This stuff is really crazy, guys. I mean, seeing this kind of stuff. So I know about, you know, these kind of artifacts and priceless, you know, things like this. Because I was raised around that. I know what that's like. And that's an experience not many have had. I can tell it's expensive. Yeah, it's crafted by someone really famous. Yeah, we know this is an expensive. And of course, can't catch it in time. It smashes. Wipe that pathetic look off your face. I see Sachi standing in front of me and smiling. I've no idea what she got here, but she has the vase at her feet and without a scratch. She must have caught it. Oh my god, she caught the vase! The vase is saved! Let's all clap, the vase is saved, folks. It is not smashed in a million pieces, it is caught. Oh, Sachi, thanks, you really saved my ass! You've got a long way to go if you're still falling for something this obvious. She points at the board the vase was sitting on. When I actually take a good look at it. Oh! I notice an obvious cut in it that seemed to be made by a saw. That stand was designed to fall on you. Even so. A cleaner. Now, I would have noticed that. Because I would have picked the vase up. And if that vase had fallen, I would have noticed that cut. I was like, oh, okay. So, hey, it's like, mistress, you want to explain this to me? What? That looks like a saw and cut it. Were you purposely trying to make that vase fall? Is that what's going on here? It's like, I'm just going to take my happy ass out of this building, and we'll never speak of this again. Why would someone do that? Yep. Isn't it obvious? If you broke the vase, they could use that to keep you here forever. This vase probably costs millions and millions of yen. They can make you work here until you pay it all off as compensation for breaking it. Oh! I've seen several people get caught by the same trap, so I'm pretty sure. Did you come all the way back here just to save me? Well, yeah, that's what friends are for, aren't they? She winks at me. Oh, that's why she was looking grimly. When I heard your conversation in the front hall, I knew immediately what she was up to. Thank you so much. I don't know what would have happened to me if you hadn't come. I bow with gratitude over and over. Oh, cut it out. You're making me blush. Yep. Thank you. I couldn't just leave you like that, and besides, I figured I'd do at least one good deed before I get out of here. Now if you'll excuse me, I'm getting the hell out of here before the mistress comes. Oh, that's why she was mad. I don't want to know what she'll do to me if she finds out I mess with her plans. She turns to leave. Oh, by the way, let's say this takes care of the debt I owe you. I did just save your life and all, so I think it's fair. Well, looks like my taxi's here. See ya! I doubt we'll ever see each other again, so I wish you all the best. Sachi says her goodbyes and leaves the room. I'm left by myself, still in shock over what just happened. Just then, the mistress comes flying into the room. Sawatari, my precious vases! Uh-oh! Just fine, apparently. She sees the vase at my feet and stops herself. Sorry, I was polishing the vase when all of a sudden the stand broke on me. I was able to catch it in time, so the vase is safe. Oh, I see. That's unfortunate. Did you want me to break the vase? I may break it over your head next time. It's a pretty old stand. The leg must have rotted out. Nope, it's not so much the leg. You see, there's a hole here that looks like it's made by a saw? I don't know why that would be. She takes her disappointment and frustration out on the broken stand by kicking it. You don't have to clean this room anymore. Go and help Mitarai instead. Yes, ma'am. I leave the reception room. When I come back to the front hall, there's already no sign of Sachi. From there, I go to the dining room where I spend the rest of the morning shining silverware with Mitarai, and thus I'm able to spend my last stint as a servant without incident. As I finish with dinner and a bath, I go to the basement, shut down the boiler out of my usual habit before coming back to my room. Well, I guess it's not my room anymore since I'm not a servant. And after I'm gone, this bed will probably be used by yet another unfortunate servant who was duped by the money. So this is going to be my last night in this room. I have nothing but bad memories of this place, but the room itself isn't bad. In fact, I'm actually kind of attached to it. It's more spacious than my apartment, at least. Not like I'll ever be sleeping here again, though. I set the alarm clock for the last time and get ready for bed. I think I'll have some sweet dreams tonight. I turn off the lights, close my eyes, and drift off into sleep. Oh. I'm not familiar with day 16. Ugh. I reach out with my hand and shut quiet the noisy alarm. I rub my sleepy eyes and crawl out of bed. Yawn. I get to my feet and stretch at 6 in the morning, same as usual. I don't work here anymore, so it's not like I need to wake up at this early, but I set my alarm clock for 6 by habit. I brush my teeth, wash my face, and got dressed. Since I burned all the clothes I brought with me, I have no choice but to go back in my servant uniform. Guess it's goodbye to this room. I pick up what little luggage I have and give one last look over the room I spent the last 2 weeks in. Well, time to go. Turn around and leave the room. After starting the boiler out of habit, I head for the dining room. There's one habit I don't have trouble breaking. It's going to Marius' room. When I walk in the dining room, Kyoichi is standing there waiting for me. Now, good morning, Mr. Kyoichi. He looks at me a few seconds before putting on his usual annoyed expression. I'm glad I'll never have to see your face again. That's all he says before walking out of the dining room. It's a mean thing to say, but I figured that's just his way of saying goodbye. Good morning, Sawatari. Good morning, ma'am. Did you sleep well last night? I did. Thanks for letting me stay over an extra day. Think nothing of it. So when do you think you'll be leaving today? That depends on Mitarai. I want to get home before it gets dark, though, so around noon, I suppose.
So,
I see it's going to be pretty lonely around here without the two of you. Fortunately, we already have a number of people who answered our ad. Things should liven up again soon enough. That's good to hear. I feel sorry for those poor victims. Good morning, Sawatari. Good morning. Both of you did a fine job as servants. As your master, I thank you. I'm the one that should be thanking you. You've helped my little brother so much. If you need anything else, just come to me. If you ever need anything else, just come to me. As long as you have the money for it, I'll help you with anything. If I already had the money, I wouldn't consider asking her for help in the first place. But enough chit-chat, let's eat. We sit down and have breakfast here together for the final time. Once we finish eating, I pass the time until noon by helping Midori with her work and making preparations to leave. Time goes by quickly, and before long, it's time for us to depart. Well, it's about time we get out of here. I look at the clock and mention to Midori, "You're right." We get ready to make our departure. We barely have any luggage to take with us. Hell, we're even leaving in the same servant uniforms we've been wearing the past couple of weeks. Mistress said we can keep it as a souvenir, though considering they burned all our other clothes, it's either go home in this or go home naked. Lastly, I reach my hand in my pocket, check for the key I got from Marika. I lost most of my money to Sachi, but I more than made up for it with my new car. I finally get the chance to drive my new car out of this place together with Midori. As I squeeze the key in my pocket and delight over my new toy, the mistress and the others come to see us off. You ready to go then? Yes, thank you for allowing us to stay here. It was a short period, but it's been a worthwhile experience. We bow our heads. It's actually the worst 2 weeks of my life, to be honest, but now I'm finally able to leave. I'm in such a good mood that I'm willing to let bygones be bygones. Besides, I never would have met Midori if I didn't come here. It wasn't all bad. I'm gonna be so sad without you. Are you sure you don't want to reconsider? I second that notion. I'd be delighted if you come to work here. Continue to work here. The mistress and Mark could try to get me to stay.
What are you
two on about? You can find another dunce like him anywhere. But if you insist on coming back and working for us, I suppose I wouldn't mind. I don't care how much they beg me. My mind is made up. I can't stand another day in this place. Working here with Midori was one thing, but staying on by myself, just a thought makes me sick to my stomach. I like Sachi. I don't think I'd ever get used to this place, no matter how much you pay me. Nope, I've already made up my mind. I make my decision perfectly clear. I see. That's a shame. Well, we'll be going now. Take the key out of my pocket. Ah, yes, that. Your new car is waiting for you in the garage. You're going to be leaving in that, right? That's the plan. I figured you would, so I went ahead and filled up the tank and put in a brand new battery. Thank you. Wait, we're not going back in a taxi? Midori asked, oblivious of the situation. There's no need for that. I got a car from Marika. Really? Yes, that car belongs to him now. Do whatever you want with it. Car, you mean that red one? That's the one. Oh wow, that's rather nice of you. Just a little present for all he did for me. It's no big deal. You don't mind, do you, Mother? It's your car. You can do whatever you want. It's official then. You'll be leaving in that car. Just try to drive safely. Things can get dangerous if you drive too fast. I will. I nod firmly to her advice. I'm pretty confident I can drive safely enough. I'll see you off at the gate. Alright, let's go, Midori. Okay. We say our goodbyes and head for the garage. Okay. I enter the code on the door and go inside with Midori. This is your new car? She's surprised when I lead her over when I lead her over to the red Ferrari. Yep, I have to admit it's a little fancy for someone poor like me. I've never actually seen a car this awesome looking before. It's really cool. Well, hop on in. I'll drop you off at your house. Alright. I open the passenger door for her and wait for her to step inside. Once she gets into the seat, I close the door and go around to the other side. I hop in the driver's seat, nervously stick the key in the ignition. I turn the key and start up the V8 twin-turbo engine. I step on the gas and enjoy the shrill hum of the exhaust for a while I wait for the oil to get warm. The tank is fueled just like it's... The tank is full, just like Marcus said it was. This should be enough to get both of us home, even with the F-40's tendency to eat up gas. Here we go! Fasten your safety belts. She struggles with a four-point harness a bit since she isn't used to it. Once she's strapped in, I get the car moving. Marka had the garage shutter already open for us. I drive the F-40 up the gentle slope and come out in the mansion's courtyard. While driving carefully along the roadway in the courtyard, I hear a familiar bark. I look in the side mirror and see Cerberus desperately chasing after the car. Midori notices him and sticks her hand out of the car to wave goodbye. Meanwhile, I struggle to get familiar with my new car. I have a little trouble operating the clutch, but I'm able to get us safely outside the gate. Wow. He sucks at driving. It hurts just to watch. You think they're going to be okay? It's his first time driving. What do you expect? They're all waiting for us in front of the gate, giving their impressions of my awkward driving as I go by. Goodbye, Sawatari. Midori. Take care. Get the hell out of here already. Take care of yourselves. Thanks for having us. We say goodbye from the car, and Mark and the mistress wave in response. After that's done with, I shift gears and step harder on the gas. The car picks up speed, and we get further and further away from the mansion. Well, they're gone. Yep. Those morons have no clue what's about to happen. We should go and get things ready. Oh, wow. Hey, the first time we saw Sawatari's face. Comfortable sound of the Ferrari's engine fills our ears as we ride down the dark mountain path. Its 478 horsepower makes for a smooth ride and takes light turns with relative ease due to its stable cornering. The response is perfect light push on the gas pedal is all it takes to get some good acceleration. Once it gets up to 3,500 RPMs, the turbocharger kicks in. After 4,500 RPMs, the needle in the boost gauge shoots up and the car picks up speed dramatically together with the metallic music of the turbine. Once the wastegate opens, I take my foot off the gas pedal to shift gears. With the throttle closed, the air is forced back into the turbine blades, making the distinct sound of a light compressor surge. I enjoy the sound of the resulting afterburn for a little while as I cruise the rest of the way. Once I get more used to driving, things start to go smoother. At first, I was a little daunted by the gear shifting, but I got used to it pretty fast. The scenery is lovely. Midori is looking out the window, enjoying the view. So what are you going to do once you get home? What do you mean? I was just wondering if you have any plans for the future or anything. Not in particular. Just going to go back to what I was doing before I came here. Summer break is almost over and I got what I wanted. Now I just need to concentrate on my studies. Although I suppose I'll need to find another part-time job so I get the money to maintain this car. That goes double for an expensive car like this. What about you? Well, I'll be nursing my little brother for a while. After that, I got a lot of work to make my dream come true. Sounds like you're gonna be busy. Yeah. But I think I'll be taking it easy for a while. These past 2 weeks have been way too hectic. She even had it worse in there than I did. She deserves that break. Hey, Sawatari. Do you mind if we keep in contact with each other? What? Her sudden suggestion catches me off guard. We just became friends. It'd be sad if we stopped seeing each other. I really like it if we could see each other again after this and talk. Of course, I'm all for it if you are. Couldn't ask for more, really. Really? So I can call you if I want to see you? Sure. Thanks. In fact, what do you say we go out somewhere this weekend? You know, celebrate the fact that we're out of that awful place. Oh, that sounds great. Sounds like a plan. How about we go on a nice long drive with my new car? Okay, I'll make the lunches. We're having a pleasant conversation about our plans for the future when suddenly disaster strikes. I notice something is wrong as I try to apply the brake to take on the upcoming curve. The brake isn't reacting as well as it was before. Still, it isn't completely shot, so I figure maybe some air got caught in the brake line or something. But as I slow down for the curb, it keeps getting worse. Before long, the brake pedal doesn't seem to be reacting at all. What's wrong? The car's not working right. I try to take my foot off the gas pedal to slow the car down, but this time the gas pedal stops working too, and the throttle remains open. What the? I immediately try the handbrake, but it's cut too. Oh man. I attempt the engine brake by downshifting and stepping on the clutch, but that isn't giving any response either. The car is stuck in third gear. There isn't a damn thing on the car that's working right except for the handle. The tachometer shows 3,000 RPMs as its car gradually accelerates down the slope. It's a straight road, so we'll be okay for now, but as soon as the curve comes up, we're done for. Without a way to decelerate, I can't take the turn. I look out the window to see what's under the side guardrail. There's a steep cliff with a forest beneath it. That's not a fall you'd want to take. Damn! I grip my teeth and tighten my grip on the one thing I have control over. Sawatari, don't you think you're going a little fast? Midori notices something is wrong and asks, looking worried. You're absolutely right. I'm trying to slow it down, but the car just isn't listening to me. I press down on the brake to demonstrate. Wait, what does that mean? To put it simply, the car is out of control. I can't stop it. It's broken? Looks like it. There's no way this many things could go wrong with the car all at once by pure coincidence. This car isn't just broken, it was sabotaged. What's gonna happen to us? Well, first I need to think of a way to stop this thing. Fortunately, I've already tried just about everything I think of. Just then we hear a familiar voice coming from the car's speaker. Testing, testing, can you hear me, Sawatari? If you're hearing this, please respond. I can hear you. I respond while keeping a desperate grip on the handle. Oh, good. I see you're still alive. She speaks like she knows exactly what's going on. So how are you liking your new car? Are you enjoying a pleasant little drive with Midori? What the hell did you do to this thing? I raise my voice in anger, realizing that this was something they set up. I just fiddled with it a little to make your drive more exciting. How is it? Pretty thrilling, right? Enough with the jokes, just stop this thing. I'm afraid I can't do that. I personally didn't want to do this, but Mother was quite firm about it. Why would you do something like this? The voice over the speaker changes. To keep you two in my grasp, of course. What? Are you serious? I've actually taken quite a liking to you two, so I decided to keep you for a while. And to do that, I asked Marika to sabotage your car. I don't see how that has anything to do with this. It's very simple. You lose control of the car and drive right over the cliff. The car crashes and explodes, burning both of you inside to a crisp. Midori shrieks at her explanation. That's what it'll look like on paper anyway. Don't worry, we'll be sure to rescue you from the wreckage. After that, we'll put a couple of corpses in your place and set them on fire to burn them beyond recognition and make it look like you two died in the crash. Even then, they'll figure it out once they investigate further. Oh, don't worry. I have friends in high places. I've already made the proper arrangements to assure that doesn't happen. You'll both be legally dead. After that, you'll belong to me. After all, you're already dead. No one's going to complain about what I do to you after that. A cold chill runs down to my spine as I listen to her insidious plan. I'll keep you in the basement. I'll take good care of you until you die. You have nothing to worry about. Oh, and there's plenty of other people just like you down there, so you won't have to worry about getting lonely either. I keep other people like you with superior genes and make them breed with each other to produce superior offspring. It's like a human farm. Doesn't it sound lovely? You're insane. There's no other way to describe it. I'll take that as a compliment. But enough chit-chat. It's time for you to accept your fate and go drive off a cliff. There's a chance you could die, but don't worry. If you do, I'll make sure to throw you a really nice funeral. Ha ha ha! God damn it. I pound the steering wheel in frustration. Why do these bad things always keep happening to us? She's on the verge of crying. Don't throw in the towel yet. We can still get out of this. Oh, you sound pretty confident. Marika takes her place back on the speaker. If you make it safely down the mountain, you're free to go. We'll accept that. Jump out of the car now. That's what you do. Yes, you'll roll a little bit, but that's a good idea. I wouldn't get your hopes up, though. Not a single person has succeeded so far. Apparently, we aren't the first people they tried to use this trick on. But still, there's a first time for everything. I'm not going to lay down and die. Are you ready? You'll be coming up to a series of curves soon. We're tracking the car's location with the GPS to be ready to rescue immediately after you crash, if that's any consolation. I see a series of treacherous turns coming into view, just like she said. With no way to slow the car down, I have to make the turn at our current speed. Hang on tight! Right! Mirai grabs onto her seat, puts both feet firmly on the floor. I tighten my grip on the handle and get ready to take the turn. First up is the right corner. I bring the car over to the left side of the roadway for the right time to turn the handle. Once we come upon the corner, I veer the car to the right. Phew! We managed to make it past the first turn, but there's no time to relax. The left turn is already fast approaching. I bring the car to the right side and make the left turn. Ah, Mirai shrieks as she reels from the G-force of the turn and the tires squeal along with her. Once we get out of the turn, I correct the car's position with the steering wheel. We made it past another curve. My nerves are starting to wear thin. We're speeding along at 80 kilometers. We could crash right through a guardrail any minute. Impressive work. Unfortunately, you're about to come up to a quick and rapid succession of turns soon. Not only that, but the turns seem to come almost at random. It's the most dangerous part of the drive by far. Do you think you can make it out of there safely? My pulse races even faster. At this speed, we'll be sailing right through the guardrail if I'm late, by even a second. The only chance we have is to try to predict when the next turn will be and prepare for it beforehand. One wrong prediction and it's a game over. It's a moment of truth. Show me what you got. The first right turn comes into view during our conversation. It's do or die. The tires squealed as we take the corner, nearly hugging the guardrail. I wonder what's next. Could it be a left or a right? After clearing the first corner, I have to get in position to make the next one. With no clear view of the turn and no signs, I have nothing to rely on but my own intuition. Hold on. Can we win? I don't know. We'll fucking try. Left. I predict a left turn, bring the car to the right side of the road. Alright, once the curve comes into sight, it's indeed a left turn. I turn the handle to the left and take the corner at just barely the right angle. You're lucky. But how long until your luck runs out? I straighten the car up after the turn, get ready for the next one. Right or left? Left this time. Left. Okay, alright. It's another left turn. I think my surprisingly sharp intuition and veer the car to the left. Not bad, Sawatari, not bad. I struggle to get the car back on track after taking the turn. The wear and tear from all this high-speed turning is starting to affect the traction on the tires. No time to think about that, though, as I have to figure out the next turn. Right. Yeah, assuming a right turn. It's to the right. I was correct. I pray to God to veer the steering wheel to the right. Tires screech in agony. Crap! The curve is sharper than I expected, and the tires are too wore down, causing us to drift out of the correct angle. Mirai shrieks as she watches the guardrail get closer and closer, trying to fight with the steering wheel to only make things worse. Oops, too bad. Goodbye. My luck had run out. We break through the rail like paper and sail through the air into the thick forest below. Wow. The day after. Ugh, brought back to consciousness by sharp pain running through my whole body. Try to move, but it feels like being held in place with something. Give up on that idea and force my heavy eyelids open. Wow. Okay, I find myself on some strange hospital bed and bandaged up, covered in bruises. The pain from the injuries makes it extremely difficult to move. Still, I was lucky to escape from a fall like that with injuries of this extent. Bearing the pain in my neck, I turn my head to see Mirai in the bed next to me in her underwear. Mirai, she's bandaged up too, but her injuries appear to be a lot less severe than mine. What's more alarming, however, is the group of old men around her grabbing their erect cocks and looking at Mirai with excitement. What the hell are they doing there? Mirai's eyelids flutter in response to my shout. Sawatari, she opens her eyes and calls my name. Why am I dressed like this? Oh wait, we were in the car when we drove over the cliff and then... She comes to her senses and remembers the accident. Afterwards, she immediately notices all the men around her filling with their cocks. What? Who are these people? She has the same confused reaction that I did. And sent up the mistress and Mars to come over. Apparently they were watching us in the corner of the room. I didn't even notice. Well, good morning, you two. Look at you, all banged up and in your underwear. You're embarrassing. Never missing opportunity to talk down on someone, Mirai mocks us. Or Marisa mocks us. I'm glad your injuries were fairly minor. It'd be a shame to ruin my newest commodities. Savitar got the worst end of it. I'm afraid you won't be able to go to the bathroom on your own for a while with all those bone fractures. On the bright side, I'm sure Marika would be more than happy to help you with that. I'm not sure if I should be happy or sad about that. That's fine, but what the hell is up with these guys? Oh, you mean these people? They happen to be very special patients here at our hospital. Patients? It's normal for patients to be at a hospital, of course. That doesn't really do a good job of explaining what the hell they're doing, though. They all pay a premium fee to get special VIP treatment. And when you're hospitalized for so long with no outlet, you start getting certain urges. You understand, right? That's why they let them have their way with other patients that are under anesthesia for sexual gratification. What? Ew! We both react with horror. The hospital's messed up. Who knows what other crazy things they do here? I figured since we just brought you in unconscious, it'd be a good opportunity for them to take advantage. Hey, mother, doesn't this one only have a few more months to live? She says, pointing to one of the old men grabbing his penis. Yes, that's right. What about it? This would be a good chance for him to leave behind a child before he dies, don't you think? Can't believe what she just blurted out. It's every man's desire to want to leave his seed behind before he dies. That's a good idea. What do you think? It'll cost you extra if you want to go through with it. Oh, yes, please. I don't have a child of my own. I'll pay whatever you want. Old man on his deathbed replies with excitement. It's official then. Meteorite, you have to get pregnant with this man's sperm now. No! Look on Meteorite's face twists with terror. Stop. I can't let you do that. You just shut up and watch. It's not like you can even move anyway. Sadly, she's right. With all the broken bones and pain, I'm in no shape to even get up. Okay, mister, I'll fill her up with whatever poor semen you have left in your balls before you die. Marisa rips meterized panties off. No, the old man stares at his exposed crotch, panting with excitement. She's all yours, mister. Marisa beckons him over. Oh, he wastes no time ripping off his underwear, climbing in bed with her. He brings his erect, throbbing cock up against her pussy. It's hard to believe a man near death could have this much energy. Oh my, look at it throb. Your cock must be really desperate to leave behind its seed. You only have a few shots left in you before you die, but they're all going to be really thick. She looks at his throbbing penis with fascination. I get to come inside a pretty girl like this, I'm going to come just thinking about it. He rubs his erect member against her pussy. You're pretty lively for a half-dead old man. Marisa muses as she rips off Meteorite's bra next. Ah, her huge breasts jump out in the open, exciting the old man. Oh, look at those tits. I can't take it anymore. Ah, oh, he comes home rubbing his penis against her pussy. Oh, geez, you already came? You don't have to be in that much hurry. It's not like you're going to die today. Oh, my God, the smell. While he didn't come for that long, he still managed to cover her in a big load of thick white semen. Oh, I can't believe I wasted that shot without being inside of her. You better hurry up and put it in while your cock is still hard. Make sure you get inside her this time. I know, I've still got plenty of cum left. It's going right inside of her womb. Please don't stop, I shout, struggling in vain to move. Your girlfriend, you just lie there helpless and watch your precious little girlfriend get pregnant from an old man she doesn't even know. He takes his still hard member and pushes it inside her pussy. Ah, it's inside me. Oh, your pussy feels amazing. Meteorite shivers with horror as his penis invades her hole. The muscles of the old man's buttocks tremble in response to the intense pleasure coursing through his cock. Haven't had sex ever since I was diagnosed. I miss this, but now I get to have sex with such a hot young woman before I die. I have no regrets. Once I get her pregnant, I don't care if I die the next day. He starts thrusting into her hard. Ah, what a tight little pussy. You can't beat the young ones. He pounds into her with vigor, belying his old age. Meteorite starts moaning sweetly in response, unable to control the way her body reacts. Ah, not so hard. Ah, I'm coming again already. You're pretty virile for an old man. Not bad. Still, could you hold that in for a second? I need to make sure she's nice and ready to get pregnant with your seed. Marisa takes a little case out of her pocket, opens it up, takes a needle out of it, tears the plastic covering off of it, and then flicks the syringe with her finger. Time for your medicine, Four Eyes. Ah! She surprises Meteorite. I've been sticking the needle straight into her nipple. Ah, she then injects the medicine inside her nipple. I inject you with a fertility drug. Powerful one, too. It's practically guaranteed to make you ovulate no matter what, where you are in your cycle. No, I don't want to get pregnant. Marisa grins, enjoying Meteorite's reaction. But I better give you one more just to make sure. She takes another needle out of the case. Ah, she sticks the needle in another nipple and She sticks the needle in the other nipple and injects the medicine. Ah, my chest, my body's on fire. Yeah, we put some potent aphrodisiacs in there too. Just give it a second, you'll start to love it. The drugs take effect almost immediately, making Meteorite tremble violently in reaction. Ah, she just got a lot tighter. It's amazing. I can't hold it anymore. I'm coming. Here it comes. Time to have my baby. After months of saving up a seed, he spills all of it inside her. Sick and yellows with a consistency close to jelly. Oh, I'm coming inside her this time. No, stop. You're really going to get me pregnant. I know, babe. That's the plan. I better give you some more so we know it's a sure thing. Ah! I'm gonna get pregnant now, I just know it. The man ejaculates for nearly a minute before straight before he finally stops. Phew, I think I got every drop out of my balls. He takes his penis out of her, looking satisfied. Now I get to have a kid before I die. I can go to my grave in peace, having accomplished his goal. He backs away from her. Oh, look at all this cum. I really am going to get pregnant. Meteorite looks down the cum, thinking out of her pussy in devastation. Congratulations, you're going to be a mommy. Can't stand the thought of having a child with some man I don't even know. This is awful. Try not to be so selfish. I provided you with some high-quality genes. You should be thanking me. In the middle of their conversation, the door to the hospital room suddenly opens, and in walks some more old men with nothing to breathe. Awfully mean of you, Maria. How come you didn't call us? That's right, it's so horny. You've been having wet dreams every day. So this is our treat for today. Oh, it looks like someone already got to her first. They each complain as they gather around her, taking their erect cocks out of their brace and stroking them. Oh, I'm sorry, I was going to, but you were trying to sleep. I wouldn't be wasting my time sleeping if I knew what was going on. Once I heard, I flew right out of bed and came rushing over. Good, I made it in time. Very well then, feel free to release your pent-up sexual frustrations all over. Come to think of it, Saltari's gotten rather quiet. Can you go check on him, Marisa? Marisa walks over to my bed. He's got a boner from watching the woman he loves get raped and impregnated by some old fart. She sees my erect cock and bursts into laughter. My briefs must have came off when I was struggling, leaving my penis out in the open and sticking straight up at the ceiling. I want to cover it out of shame, but I can't even move my arm because it's broken. I know, how about we throw her bone and let him have sex with her too and come inside her? This is going to be their last chance to be together after all, indeed. If we get a sliver of help to look forward to, it may help her cope with the horrible life awaiting her. He won't be able to have sex with her by himself with his current injuries. You help him out, Maria. Yep. Yes, Mother. Marisa roughly pulls me off the bed. Time to give your girlfriend some cock. Come on. Hey, Al, cut it out. She just brute forces me out of bed, showing no concern for my injuries. The pain is so intense I could pass out. Despite her rough method, she manages to get me safely on top of Meteorite in bed. There, now start thrusting. Oh, Saltari, I fight through the pain and manage to get my penis inside her. The feeling of my cock wraps and her warm flesh eases the pain a bit. Hurry up, get moving so you can come inside her too. But it hurts too much to move. I try as hard as I can to move my hips. I somehow manage to get a slow pace going. The leftover cum inside her acts as lubricant, makes it easier on me. And while it is disgusting knowing it's some old man's jizz, I have to admit it makes the pleasure all more intense. Wow, it's the most pathetic thrusting I ever saw. Well, keep it up. Okay, I experience a strange mix of pain and pleasure. I push my hips back and forth. While he's doing that, Four Eyes can make the old men come with hand jobs. Oh my god, what if you refuse? I'm gonna have them all come inside you instead. I'll do it. Threat's very effective at coercing her. She grabs one of the cocks nearby with the left hand. She does the same with another penis, the right hand. She starts stroking both cocks in her hand. Oh, that's good. Do it harder. Pump the cum right out of me. Me too. Ooh, I can feel them throbbing in my hands. Pent up from their hospital life, it doesn't take long before they're on the verge of coming. The other old men are around, as I expect, will start jacking himself off. They watch. You don't want to be left behind, do you? Get those hips in motion. Okay, I try harder, but I'm unable to manage anything but a slow pace. It brings a mild, comfortable feeling of pleasure. You're never going to come to keep moving like a snail. Guess I better help you out. Marisa takes off her high heels and hops up on the bed. She lifts up her foot and brings it down hard on my back. Ugh, she pushes down my back a few times to test how much pressure to use. Okay, here we go. Then she starts pushing down on my back so rapidly that my entire body feels like an electric vibrator. Ah, not so fast. Saltari, that's too hard. The pleasure gets too intense, too fast. It's almost too painful to bear. Meanwhile, Meteorite starts panting in reaction to the pleasure. There, now you should be able to come in no time. Be grateful that we went out of the way to help you. She puts more force into it, makes my back vibrate even faster. Ah, this feels amazing. Pleasure is too much to take. I'm going to come any second. Oh, it's too much. I'm going to come too. Meteorite moans with pleasure. Start jacking off the old man faster. Ah, I'm coming. It's too stimulating for one of the old men. Cum explodes from his cock. Ah, he sprays all the sick cock. Cum, he saved up from being cooped up in the hospital over Meteorite. I haven't come in so long. This is going to be a big one. I'm coming too. The other old man blows his load shortly after. Ah, it's so warm. They dump their pent up cum all over her at once. Phew, it's not so good. I couldn't help myself. I hadn't come this much in ages. Pant, pant. Her upper body is covered in their old right cum. The smell is unbearable. I'm going to come too. Do the same for me. The old man next to him shouts, his penis ready to explode. Meteorite reaches over and grabs his penis and strokes it hard just like he wanted. Oh, I'm coming. The old man goes off immediately. The sticky white cum hits Meteorite right in the face. His face is covered in cum. Some of it even looks like it got in her nose and mouth. Oh, she grimaces at the taste of semen in her mouth and lets go of his penis. Ah, look at her face. Hey, Saltari, about giving her a big wet kiss. The intense pleasure she's forcing on me is so distracting that I couldn't even if I wanted to. I'm coming. Eventually just becomes too much to bear. What? Already? All right, I'll give you a little something to help her get pregnant, too. Takes another needle with the same fertility drug inside, sticks it into my neck. She injects the liquid, sending it through my bloodstream into my brain. My eyes roll back in my head. My body shivers. I have no idea if this stuff works on men or not. Looks like it's working pretty well. Suddenly blood starts pouring out of my nose. Maybe it's working too well. There's so much cum pouring inside me. My mind goes blank from the drugs of fire. Huge love of cum inside her. Marissa pushes down on my back, keeps it there, making sure my penis stays firmly inside my midriff. Wow, look at all that cum. You might really get her pregnant with your semen instead of that geezer. So I'm coming from your semen. Sensation of cum filling your pussy sends her over the edge and we climax together. Once I finish, I roll over and fall off the bed. My mind is foggy from drugs. Can't even move my body an inch because of the pain. Is that all you could take? Try growing some balls. Pat, pat. After orgasm, pussy relaxes. Cum we dumped inside of her comes flowing out one mixed stream. I'm coming. Here you go. One little man jacking off. Watcher is ready to contribute. Shoots his thick cum all over body. Days from her climax. Minerai just lets it hit her without a word. I'm coming too. Now all the old men start coming over after one after the other like they're competing to see who can get her the dirtiest. So I'm coming. Phew, look, I got it all over panties. I'm next. Once they all finish, she's coated from head to toe in their thick white goo. Smell coming off her so bad that none of the old men can find it in themselves to have sex with her. You're absolutely covered both inside and out. I bet it feels fabulous to be covered in so much cum. I'm a little jealous. I'll have you act as their cum toilet while you're here. I'm sure you don't mind, do you? Since you don't have any money, I'll consider that as your payment for being able to use my hospital. Do your best, Miss Toilet. She's still too spaced out to articulate a response, so she answers with a groan. This is the start of our new life in hell. Day after. No, there's more. We're woken up by the sound of someone opening the door. When the light turns on, we see some mistress. Just the mistress coming to take care of us as usual. Oh, wow. Wow, there's a lot of people in there. Yep. I've lost track of how much time has passed since they put me here. There's no way to know the time down here. To be honest, after a while, you just stop caring. We were brought here immediately after injuries healed. The cage in this room has been our home ever since. As men, our days are made up entirely of eating, sleeping, shitting, and being milked of our semen. Women are periodically fertilized with semen taken from us once they give birth to a child. The spirit genes, the child is then taken away and sold off. At this point, Mina already gave birth to the child she conceived back at the hospital. Unfortunately, he was never told if it's mine or that old man's. So it's just an analogy. We really are treated like farm animals. We were all branded in the buttocks with numbers they used to identify us. The only thing we live for is to provide semen and give birth. Anyone who loses their insanity or is unable to provide semen anymore is disposed without a second thought. I've already lost count of how many people have came and went by now. We don't even know each other's names, so I'm not all that concerned about anyone else, though. The only one I know or care about is Meteorite. One thing I do know is that all these people here were once serviced and worked here. If you're lucky enough to have the mistress take a liking to you, this is your fate. All right, everyone. It's time to take care of you. She claps her hands together happily. Midori moans painfully in response. We're all gagged to prevent us from biting our tongues in an attempt to kill ourselves, so naturally we're unable to speak. Uh-oh, looks like Midori can't hold it anymore. Hold on, I'll get that stuff right out of you. She takes a thick tube and anus one by one. Once she's done with that, she goes over to the panel on the wall and flips one of the switches. Just let it all out. With the rumblings, it's probably suction through the tubes. Amount of feces starts to flow through the tubes, connected one of the girls. Flips another switch. Your turn, Meteorite. She turns on the suction, sucking the waste out of her. The brown waste is visible to clear tubes and gets sucked out of them. The tubes turn clear after the waste matter is collected. Seeing that's all that's finished, the mistress switches the device off. Oh yes, today is feeding time for the men as well. Here you go, boys. She goes through and sticks the tubes at the anuses of all the men. Ugh. After the other two, I'm last. Shudders, a thick tube invades my asshole. She flips a switch on the panel. Green liquid flows through the tube and into our anuses. A thick concoction that contains nutrients, sexual stimulants, and drugs to make us produce more semen. It contains everything we need to keep us alive to the next feeding time. Liquid injected through our assholes is our one and only food source in this hellhole. Here's some for you too. Here's some for you too, Sotar. You eat up. I shiver at the sweet, uncomfortable sensation of the liquid flowing through my asshole. First, I felt it disgusting, but now I actually prefer it to eating. When she gives us the usual designated amount, she cuts off the flow of the liquid. Stimulants quickly take effect. The boys all start to groan. My groin starts to burn. My penis throbs. We all get erect one by one. Once we erect, I prepare myself for the inevitable milking. We're milked and receiving every day we got here. We're like cows, living solely for that purpose. And much like cows, the milking's done by machines. There's been absolutely no sex or masturbation here. Since it's all removed by force, it doesn't even feel like I'm ejaculating. Now it looks like everyone is ready. It's time to gather today's seed. She puts her hands together and speaks with delight. The women are most fertile too. It should be a fine day for breeding. Women have their menstrual cycles controlled through drugs put in the food given to them to make breeding easier to manage. Boys, it's time to impregnate the women with your fabulous genes. She sticks a vibrator using for breeding in each of the genitals. Can't believe what I'm watching here. Once she finishes that, she connects the milking device to our genitals. I shudder as the device fits over my penis. The machine connects the vibrator to the girl below me through a tube. Once I come, the semen will travel through it into her fertile womb. Pregnancy is almost a certainty. I get aroused just thinking about it. I never had sex with her, and I don't even know her name, but I'll be getting pregnant with my child. Oh my, your cock is already throbbing and already ready to go. You must really want to get her pregnant, huh? Ready for your second child already? Oh, didn't I tell you? We did a paternity test of meterized baby. Turns out you were the father. Not expecting to hear that now. I was always too scared to ask what happened to the child, not like I could even speak if I wanted to. The mother of my child is busy getting pregnant with another man's child this very moment. There's nothing I could do with it. Not only that, but I'm about to get another woman pregnant as well. I'm a complete and utter failure as a man. As I pardon myself, the mistress proceeds to the next man in line. Once they're all set up, she goes back over the operating panel. Try to come as much as you can so you can get them pregnant. We'll start with you. She flips the switch and starts to pump on the milking machine. The device applies suction against one of the other boys' penis. It sucks the semen right out of his balls by force. The machine fills up with cum and travels through the tubes of the vibrator. Semen reaches the vibrator and pussy gets sucked inside. His semen flows inside a constant stream, swallowed up by her fertile womb. Good, it's going inside. It's one pregnancy. She flips another switch. Pump starts on the boy connected to meterize, sucking his semen up inside. I watch helplessly as the semen gathers inside before being sucked along the tube, going to meterize. Semen reaches her vibrator and flows inside of her. Meterize shivers as the boy's sperm invades her womb. There, now meterize pregnant with the second child. Okay, so Atari, your turn. You have spicy blood over there. Some of your thick and juicy cum. She flips the switch. Pump activates semen on my balls and sucked right out my penis with force. The semen drained from my balls connects inside the machine before heading along the tube towards the woman below. My sperm reaches her vibrator and travels inside her pussy. She sounds her vault as my cum fills her womb. Instead of the machine do it, I try to imagine that I'm coming inside her directly. Due to the drugs, there's a lot of semen for the milking machine to gather. So much effect starts to make her belly swell up. Pressure from all the cum inside her causes her to start wetting herself. Her stomachs are so engorged, it can already pass for pregnant women. Naturally, they suck us completely dry and her penises shrivel up. They won't be able to get another drop out of us till tomorrow. The women all are blown up like balloons. They're panting painfully with that much cum. I don't think they get pregnant no matter what day was in their cycle. You have to stay like that for a while. We want any semen to leak out for you fertilize. After finishing up her work, she heads back to the door. Goodbye. Make sure to get plenty of rest. We would be kept inside this room as animals the rest of our lives as long as we still had semen to give. But once we run out, that's it. That's absolute fucking hell. Yep, that's hell. Absolute fucking hell. Wow, well, what can I say about that? Absolutely insane, right? Just unreal. All right, so that's the Grim Lord, and I'm out for Starless, and we only have a little bit more of this hell to go through. Bear with me.